Hey, this is former Blue Devil lineman Matt Skura. You're listening to Basketball Conference, the ACC football podcast. Go Duke, go ACC.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC football podcast. My name's Joey Weaver. He's Mike McDaniel. Mike, week 14 is upon us. It's rivalry week. And it's Thanksgiving week. Games.
This is the final week of full picks for the season. We'll pick bowl games and we'll pick a college football playoff game and we'll pick an ACC title game. But this is our last week of full picks already.
That didn't really occur to me. But you're right. It is.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It's gone quick.
Always does.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that a lot. We are not live. We're recording this beforehand, trying to get this done for the people going on, going traveling around for Thanksgiving. So, but you can go find us, youtube.com/@the ACC football podcast. Please hit the subscribe button, hit the bell icon to be notified when we're going to go live next. We'd appreciate that. Hit the like button if you're watching us right now. We'd appreciate that as well. We're also on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, anywhere you go find your audio podcasts, go find us there. Anything before we get into a Roback rapid Roback look back, excuse me.
No, I think we're 13? Good. Let's look back. Yep.
Let's let it rip. As mentioned before, use promo code GOACC20 at checkout for 20% off your first order at roback.com. All sorts of fantastic performance wear, athleisure wear, polos, sweatshirts, t-shirts, joggers, lots of good stuff there. Go find it all. They make for great gifts around this time of the year where there's a lot of gift giving being done. So go check it out. One more time, use promo code GOACC20 at checkout for 20% off your first order. And that does still help us, even if you're getting better deals for like Black Friday or that kind of thing. So please use the promo code. We'd appreciate that.
Yes, please do.
Roback, look back at week 13. We had a pretty thorough recap here Sunday night, so didn't really miss out on a whole lot, but just a couple things wanted to bring up. We didn't talk that much about Justin Wilcox being fired at Cal, but that does create another opening that we're going to have to figure out what the plan is there. I don't know what this is going to end up looking like there, because Cal has obviously for years been in kind of a weird place of how much do they want to invest in the program. And I'd kind of forgotten too. I keep forgetting. Ron Rivera got installed there as general manager shortly before the season. It's not super clear right now. Was that his decision to fire Justin Wilcox? Like, he might be in enough power to like make this decision here on, the firing or like what comes next. So I just, it feels like an interesting moment where we're going to see something about, what does Cal want their football program to be and who's in charge?
Yeah, I think it was Rivera making the decision, number one. Number two, this feels like Taj Lupoi's job to lose, defensive coordinator at Oregon. He is a Cal alum, played there. He's been putting together some pretty good defenses, not just at Oregon, but elsewhere. He's been kind of that trendy defensive coordinator candidate out there. I know this cycle has been a little weird because it's been a lot of sitting power conference head coaches have been the mix for a lot of jobs, but he's the one sitting coordinator, I think, on the defensive side that hasn't been talked about too much, but I think this is a really natural fit here for him if he wants to try to take that job. And Cal needs to decide, and I think they're trending this direction, but they need to decide if they want to make football a priority. It seems like they're trying to do that by hiring Ron Rivera to be the GM and then empowering him to make the call on Wilcox. But I mean, Lupoi didn't know what he's walking into. It is his alma mater, but you kind of need to know if you're going to be set up for success there. So,
right. And we keep talking about this with so many teams that are, either making coaching moves or just need to upgrade their investment of, do they want to compete in football? And it seems like for almost everyone, the answer has been yes. But it seems like there's got to be levels to that of, not everybody's going to put the same amount of money and the same amount of resources in and organize it in the same way and that kind of thing. So I don't know. I wonder about the stuff going on in the Bay Area with those two schools, how much they want to keep up. And it seems like both of them are saying the right things. But, when push comes to shove, we'll see what the money ends up doing.
it took the conference collapsing for all of the non-serious Pac-12 schools to wake up and become serious, it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem that way. Going to be two brand new coaches in the Bay Area next year. That'll be interesting to see where those two jobs end up, because I haven't been hearing a lot about Stanford lately. And last I checked, Frank Reich has no interest in being there beyond this year. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yep. One other thing I wanted to mention, by the way, about the Georgia Tech loss to Pitt, something that had been rattling around in my head, even in the days leading up to the game, and just kind of forgot to bring this up, but I found myself wondering about all of the media coverage that was being done around the team, and especially around Haynes King and the Heisman campaign. And Haynes King, you know, God love him and we love him, and his teammates love him and his coaches love him and everything. But he's not like a Johnny Manziel gonna, you know, thrive in a big media spotlight, own the room, you know, when he's at a party. Like, he just doesn't seem like that kind of guy to me. And it had me wondering a little bit, you know, when he's on the ACC huddle set at 6 p.m. on Friday, and we got Pat McAfee 5 minutes into game day showing a Haynes for Heisman shirt, and Haynes King calling into Sirius XM and calling into sports, and like doing all this like promotional stuff. I wonder how much of that goes to his head. And then at some point in the first quarter, you're down 14-0 and the lights just feel a little bit brighter. And I don't know. It's something I was wondering about, is did that play into the way that game all played out on Saturday night? Was just Haynes a little bit out of his element doing this aggressive media coverage that he's been doing the last couple of weeks with this Heisman campaign?
Man, that's going to piss some people off. I don't disagree, though.
You know, I wonder.
He's been largely out of the spotlight, to your point. In that regard, I mean, he's been a good player for a while, but he's been largely out of the spotlight in terms of being that kind of guy. I mean, we've seen him, like, for ACC network games or whatever, like, we've seen him, if there's a big win or something, he'll go on set after the game, but
post game,
but he's not the rah-rah guy during the week. That he's not Diego Pavia, right? From a personality standpoint, I guess, is what I would say from a comparable standpoint.
Right.
Where, like, you see Pavia getting more Heisman hype and Haynes King's numbers are better, and you're wondering, okay, is that because he plays for an SEC school? Or is it because he's Diego Pavia and he's become this like larger than life figure? I think it's more of that than Vanderbilt is like this SEC. They're a very good team, right? They've had a good program now for 2 years. They've been very good under Clark Lee. But it's like, I think it's more of almost Pavia the person rather than an SEC brand Vanderbilt.
Right. Some people just kind of have that showman gene, right? That, you know, if Diego Pavia never plays a snap in the NFL, he's going to find his way onto Barstool, or he's going to, like,
right.
You know, he's okay being the center of attention kind of guy. And Haynes King, you know, again, he's the kind of guy, he's a tough, hard-nosed guy that he doesn't really want a whole bunch of attention. He doesn't want the award. He wants the team to win. And, you know, he doesn't want to be flashy. He just wants to score, you know, or help his team score and help his team, you know. So I just, and, you know, there's also a fair argument that, well, he has gone on game day a couple times this year and done the pregame interview while he's out there warming up and things like that. That's gone well. So maybe I'm making too much of it, but I don't know. I just wonder, the extent of it has really kind of reached a fever pitch in the last week or so prior to the Pitt game. And just wondered, how did that impact anything at all? And he would never tell you that it did, but, you know, only one man could really know that. So,
yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. In any case, anything else before we review last week's locks?
No, I think I'm good.
Let's get into it. We had a pretty good week as a show. Unfortunately, we got to start with Mike here. Mike had Louisville SMU under 51.5. Duke North Carolina under 51.5. And Delaware plus 17.5. 1-2 on the week, 11-23 on the year. I had NC State plus 6.5 against FSU, Duke Carolina under 51.5 as well, and Pitt plus 2.5 against Georgia Tech. 2-1 on the week, 13-17 on the year. You know, there was at least one good thing that came out of Saturday night, as far as I'm concerned. So there's that. Scott, producer's picks of the week, 3 of them. You had Delaware plus 17.5. Sad hen sounds. Sorry about that, Scott.
Dead hens. Dead hens.
Hen down.
Syracuse, Notre Dame over 50.5. Thank you, Notre Dame. First quarter almost got there by themselves. And Pitt, Georgia Tech over 61.5. 2-1 on the week. Producer's pick of the week now up to 5-12 on the year.
Hey, we had a positive week, baby.
There you go. There you go. Net turned positive. To profit.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah.
Well, you know, it's always another week, except this is the last one. So, you know, figure it out, Scott. Finally, Cam had SMU minus the 3.5 against Louisville. Miami minus 18.5 at Virginia Tech. And Notre Dame minus 35.5. Could have been 65.5 and still almost would have gotten there. 2-1 on the week. Cam 5-2. Those picks delivered to you from the chat in last week's preview. So shout out to Cam.
Thanks, Cam.
Hey, Cam. Thanks. Good to move on to week 14.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Last one of the regular season, as mentioned, Mike, we've got 11 games, 17 ACC programs, all of them in action this week, 5 out of conference games, including 4 major rivalry games and 1 big Notre Dame game to finalize the regular season for the ACC. We will start on Friday, November the 28th. At 3:30 on ABC, it is my number 23 Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets hosting the number 4 Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia Tech a 14.5 point underdog. This is this is being played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, about a mile down the road from Bobby Dodd Stadium. It is technically a home game. The crowd, we'll see. I think it'll actually be fairly balanced. I think people are expecting that Georgia just takes this building over, which they often are able to do. But the level of crowds that we've seen at Georgia Tech games at home the last few games has been really pretty good. And so I'd like to think that the ticket sales and the representation here will be okay. So we will see about that. This is clean old fashioned hate. It is played for the Governor's Cup. Georgia Tech has not won this game since 2016, has not won it in Atlanta since 1999, if I'm not mistaken. It hasn't been going well the last few weeks, Mike, but we told ourselves a year ago there was only one way to play this game.
Yep, there is. Also, recap locks are not official, so I've kind of gone back on that. I'm not going to lock this up. Yeah. I am going to take Georgia Tech, though, out of Broad. Principle, because like you
Broad.
Like you mentioned, Joey, we talked about this actually the last 2 years, and I told myself I would not be taking Georgia. The reason why I'm going back on locking this up is because going into this game this year, I think this is the best that Georgia has been playing. Like, if you go back the last couple years, this is the best they've looked this late in the year, I think, going back at least a couple matchups, which is why I'm a little hesitant to lock it up. With that being said, Brent Key, like I don't want to say the entire season is around this game, but like he made a point in his opening press conference when he was hired, like you mentioned, Joey, about this is a game that's going to be very, very important, even though it's not an ACC game. It's basically like the reverse Pat Narduzzi, where he's mm-hmm. like, yeah, Notre Dame game doesn't matter. It kind of seemed yeah. like that when they obviously played a lot better against Georgia Tech. I'm taking the Jackets. I think they bounce back. I think they keep this relatively close. I do think Georgia wins. They're the better team. And I just think they, with the way Georgia Tech's defense has been, especially against the run, and with the way Georgia has been running the football, and yeah, I just lean Bulldogs here just because I think Georgia Tech's defense has been such a mess over the last month. I really have a hard time envisioning a scenario where this game turns into an upset unless Georgia Tech just keeps up mm-hmm. offensively, which mm-hmm. we know they are capable of doing. Georgia Tech's defense played a lot better second half of last week, with the exception of the Jakarian Turner touchdown run, of course. But it was such a bad start, but we saw Georgia Tech's offense claw back into the game, and mm-hmm. they're capable of scoring quickly and getting themselves back into contests when they are down. So I think if you're going Georgia Tech, you have to go over on the total here, 59.5.
Yep.
I think we get there because I think Georgia Tech's going to be competitive. So give me the Jackets, give me the over.
Yep. I'm with you on that. I, as down as I am on this defense and the way that I feel like Georgia Tech kind of peaked a little bit early this year. They have not played well in November here. They put a lot I would not be surprised if they win a game against Georgia here in the next couple of years, and you find out that they do, you know, multiple practice periods a week all season long, like prepping for this game. Like Brent Key and that staff make a big deal out of this game, which is a dangerous thing to do considering the recent record. But it's also, it would almost be more dangerous to downplay it and act like it doesn't matter, because that'll really piss people off. What I will say, there is one key difference, I think, in this game this year versus the last few years. Any guesses, Mike?
It could be anything.
It has nothing to do with Georgia Tech, actually. This is currently setting up to be the first time since the COVID year that Georgia does not have the SEC championship game next week. So, you know, they could get there, but they need a little bit of help to get there. So there is no look ahead spot here for Georgia. This is, you know, you play this game, you probably don't play in Atlanta next week, and then you're just waiting on playoff seedings. So, you know, no look ahead potential here for this in this particular game. I'm gonna take the points with Georgia Tech here. I also like the over. I think that they will, you know, again, they hold some things back. You're going to see some different wrinkles and things. I think that they try to catch Georgia a little bit off balance. I think you could also, Georgia has been playing really well, but this back end of their schedule has been a little bit of a soft spot on the schedule. I realize that they're 2 weeks removed from, you know, whooping Texas, and I don't think that Texas is necessarily a soft spot, but they are flawed in some ways. I think that Georgia is able to take advantage of. So I think this number may be a little bit inflated. I think the crowd will be okay. I think I like Georgia Tech's staff and the way that they prepare for this game in particular. Give me the Jackets to at least keep this close. Give me the over 59.5. I think this gets pointsy one way or the other. I'd love to see a win, Mike, but I can't really tell you that I'm feeling all that great about the team with the way they've been playing the last couple of weeks. So, would like them to be in better form if I'm predicting the major upset here, but they're not.
Right. I'm with you.
Anything else on this game?
No, I think we're good.
I've got one more thing on this game. If you need something to wear. Oh.
Hey, guys. I'm so far in the hole. I'm just going to pick every game with you.
Let's go.
Over.
59 Over and 59 and a half. Producer pick of the week.
Sorry, I cut off the ad read. I'm picking every game.
I like it. You could do that anyway. I don't care. You could.
Well, it's pick of the week, not picks of the week. But we're 7 under .500. We got to have a good week, so we're going for it.
We're shooting from the hip.
Producers get back of the week.
Yeah, there we go.
We need a get back guy.
There you go. There you go. All right, Georgia Tech and the over for myself and Mike, and producers pick of the week number one over 59.5. This preview and all of them brought to you by section103.com, the internet's premier place for all things wonderful Georgia Tech apparel, t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, polos, hoodies. They got stickers. They got a lot of good stuff. Go hurry up and get that. You might be able to get it. It's probably getting a little tight before game time, but certainly if you need some holiday gifts, you need something to wear to the bowl game that Georgia Tech definitely going to at this point, go get it all. section103.com. Use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. By the way, got something new.
Oh, yeah. Here.
Finally got my hands on one of these Feliz Bobby Dodd. It's a long sleeve t-shirt. It is fantastic. Super comfortable, super soft. Looks great. I know what I'll be wearing to any holiday parties I'm going to over the next few weeks. If you want to get yours, hurry up and go get them because they do sell out. This is like the third year, I think, that Steven has had them in stock. They have sold out both of the first 2 years. They are very popular and they are limited in supply. So go get them now while you can and use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. Shout out to Steven and the gang. Appreciate their support as always.
Thanks, Steven.
Also stuff for Georgia Southern, Kennesaw State, and LSU. If you need that for people in your life, go find them.
Hell yeah.
Let's go on to Saturday. We got a big slate here on Saturday. We got three big ones here at noon. We will start with the ACC game. The number 13 Miami Hurricanes on the road in Pittsburgh, taking on the number 24 Pitt Panthers. Miami, a 6.5-point road favorite here, totals 50.5. Pitt coming off the big win, obviously, last weekend against Georgia Tech. Miami now on the road for a second straight week, north of the Mason-Dixon line in chilly temperatures. Do we feel like Pitt can pull it off again, or is this a little bit more elementary for Miami here, Mike?
Huge game. Loser is officially eliminated from ACC title contention. Winner is still alive, barring both UVA and SMU winning this weekend.
The weather doesn't look good for Miami. Just want to put it.
No, it does not.
Weather is not great.
High of 37 at Acrisure Stadium on Saturday.
With wind.
And let me just mention this too. Miami didn't run the ball that great against Virginia Tech. I think you're going to have to run the ball a little bit here against a Pittsburgh run defense, Joey. That's better than the one they saw in Blacksburg. And I get that some of it was the fact that Miami felt like they could just throw all over Virginia Tech. That was certainly some of it. But Miami didn't run the ball with extreme levels of success either in that game last week. Again, and now they're going up to Pittsburgh on the road, very cold weather, a game where you're going to have to run the ball. I think that plays well into Pittsburgh's favor. I think Pitt's going to be able to slow down the run. Not going to be able to throw the ball at all. I just think it's going to be a more run heavy, going to have to be a more run heavy game plan in those conditions. Give me Pitt plus 6.5 here. And for all the talk about Miami, right? Miami's lost to Louisville. They've lost to SMU. They beat Notre Dame in the opener. All this talk about their playoff resume. I think this is one of the best teams they've played this year, considering when you're getting them. If you got Pitt like in late September as one of the first conference games of the year, I'd feel a lot differently. I think Miami was fortunate to get Notre Dame as early as they did. Obviously, that's, I don't think we're breaking new ground there. I think Pitt's better than Louisville. I think Pitt's better than SMU. I think Miami better be really, really careful here on the road.
Yep.
And I think the Pitt fans are showing up to this one.
Yes. Yeah.
This is a huge game for Narduzzi. It's a huge game for Mario Cristobal. Miami better be ready to go, but that's a lot. That's a lot of points to be given on the road. Miami's very good. I have not shied away from that all year. I think they're the best team in the ACC, but I also think this is the best ACC team they've played considering when they're getting them on the schedule.
Yep.
Give me Pitt plus 6.5. I think Miami does win the game close, but it would not shock me if Pitt pulled this off.
Yeah.
So give me Pitt plus 6.5, under 50.5 too. I'm going under. I think it's weather condition game, more running the football on Pitt's side, especially. Give me the under.
The point about the weather is meaningful to me. I think, you know, in reality, we probably make too big of a deal about weather and Miami games in November. Like, oh, they can't play in the cold. Like, well, I don't think they really care that much. It's probably fine. But what I will say is that, you know, just in general with anyone playing in weather like this, not really great conditions for passing the ball. And that's where I would think that Miami would be looking to have some shots against Pitt's defense, because Pitt's run defense, very good. The pass defense can be leaky. They can give up some big plays in the passing game, but how much is Miami going to want to pass the ball in these conditions? I think, you know, kind of limits the ceiling there. I'm going to take the points with Pitt here as well. I think I'm going to take Pitt outright. I think Pitt wins this game, like, and not for a lot of good objective reasons, but just because wouldn't it be hilarious a little bit? I think Pitt wins this game. I think I'm going to take the over, actually. I think this could be a little bit, you know, again, both these defenses are good, but a little bit leaky. I think the crowd will be good, to your point, Mike. I think, you know, however big a game this was for Pitt, it just became a bigger one when you won last weekend. So give me the Pitt Panthers to win this game and really toss the ACC's playoff bid potential into a blender. And we'll figure out what happens after that.
Still think he'll be okay. Like, well, I mean, we'll talk about it in a few minutes, I guess. Still think he'll be okay, but
I do too. They'll get someone in, but Miami is kind of the last gasp at large bid. And right. It just feels like a very ACC thing for this loss to happen at this time. Miami also lost last week of last season. Remember that, like going into the Carrier Dome with good conditions.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So yeah, I don't know. It would just feel all too appropriate. So Pitt money line for me and the over, Pitt plus the points and the under for Mike.
Give me the over.
producer's pick of the week.
Play your music, Scott.
Number two.
These are just picks. I don't want to hit the siren every time. I'm just picking along. Yeah. How about this? I'll hit it for my own locks, if that works.
That's good. That works.
That's fine. That's worse for us. By the way, Pitt, +6.5. Both of us on that end of it. We know what that makes Pitt, right?
Home dog of the week.
Home field peril. Home dog of the week.
Uh-oh. Can't hear Joey.
Can't hear Joey.
Oh, no.
There you are.
There I am. Okay. Use promo code GOACC24 at checkout at homefieldapparel.com for 15% off your first order. All sorts of great vintage apparel. Both of these teams have great collections on homefieldapparel.com.
They do.
Go check them out if you're buying some holiday gifts. This is another great opportunity. Use that promo code. We'd appreciate that. Big help for us.
You can get every school except Stanford from the conference on home field. Tons of good stuff. They're always releasing new refreshes. If you think you have your home field collection finished, I guarantee you don't, because every time I go back, there's another new item for Virginia Tech or Notre Dame, the other school I support. So,
yep.
There we go.
There you go. Go do that. Let's move on. Still at noon on the ACC Network, the Kentucky Wildcats on the road in Louisville taking on the Cardinals. Louisville, a 2.5-point home favorite, totals 47.5. This is the battle for the Governor's Cup. Louisville won this game last year, broke a 5-game losing streak to Kentucky. Mike, speaking of things that we locked up on the recap and are now backing off of, I will not be backing off of my lock here. I don't know why Louisville is favored in this game. We're locking up Kentucky +2.5, and I think they win the game on the field.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. Yeah. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Sorry.
You don't have to apologize.
You don't have to apologize. I don't know who Louisville's quarterback is at this point. I don't know how bad Louisville's going to want to be there. I know that this is a rivalry situation and it's a home game. Like that's obviously helpful, but like, Kentucky, aside from just getting obliterated last week by Vanderbilt, other than that, they have been playing better over the last month or so. A month ago, I would have told you Louisville runs away with this game and the spread is probably double digits. But this one, I kind of can't believe Louisville's favored given the way things have played out the last few weeks.
Double barrel.
Hey!
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please. Double barrel.
Yeah.
Two teams trending in opposite directions. Is the Midler playing here? Do we know? Midler Moss, is he going to return? Do we have any idea? Does it matter? It matters. I don't really think it matters.
Bit. Are his teammates going to whip his ass in the locker room again this week?
Yeah. Just bad vibes. It's just bad vibes. I mean, Deuce Adams didn't have it.
Does it really matter? Like, you're going to take Kentucky, and if Midler's playing, Louisville gets more points. So Kentucky gets more points. So does it matter?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. From a pick standpoint, it does not matter. I guess.
Yeah.
It matters more, I guess, if you're planning on laying them. Yeah. I am not, obviously. Yeah. Two teams trending in opposite directions. Kentucky has been playing better over the last month, and Louisville's trending in the wrong direction. They've lost 3 straight. This could be 4 easily. I think they're ready to mail it in. And we've talked about, too, with Brohm. Like, I think we're getting to the point. He's done a pretty good job with the portal. I think we all agree.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to get to the point here where I think you're almost hitting your ceiling with what you're doing in the portal. Like you don't have the same amount of money that Florida State does to put together a roster. So you're not going to reach the 13-1 heights that Florida State reached a few years ago. But I think you're also good enough at the portal that you're not going to bottom out the way Norvell has the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So I think they should probably like lean on recruiting high school a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah. Louisville's in a weird spot, I think, right now with, you know, the fan base and the coaching staff and all that. That's a hometown son, and everyone loved him and has been just over the moon about that hire. And I feel like 3 years in, there's a little bit of some question going on. I'm like, what's the direction here? What are we doing? And, you know, is this trending upwards? Is it kind of trending downwards a little bit?
It's definitely better. I mean, it's better than Satterfield, but I feel like now they're kind of they're trading sideways a little bit. They're kind of right around 8 wins.
I mean, this game, they'll be 7-5.
Mm-hmm.
Which is bananas given they started 7-1, but you know, that's again, it hadn't been a pretty last few weeks for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
So give me the over in this one too, 47.5. some way, somehow, I think this gets into the 50s. This will be 27 to 20 or something like that. I think both these defenses are again, good, but like leaky. Like they will give up big plays here or there at times. So, and Kentucky, by the way, just big game hunters on offense, just chucking the ball down the field at any given opportunity. So I think the Wildcats were able to do that.
I'm kind of passing on this because I don't know who's playing quarterback for Louisville, but I guess I'll lean under.
Yeah, that's fair. Scott?
Kentucky with the points.
Kentucky. That's that would be the triple barrel sound, I believe.
Triple barrel.
You don't think I come prepared?
That's he knows.
Good job.
There you go.
Like just know what to say.
Nailed it.
I mean, I was just so surprised that happened. I was like, oh, okay. We have that sound now too.
Mike, your face for those listening to audio was like Ricky Bobby. I don't know what to do with my hands. Mike was like, I don't know what to do here.
Yeah. Shocking.
All right. Kentucky plus the 2.5 for all three of us. Triple barrel lock. And over 47.5 for me, under 47.5 for Mike. We good to move on.
Yep.
Last one at noon on the SEC Network. It is the Palmetto Bowl, Mike. Is the Clemson Tigers on the road in Columbia taking on the South Carolina Gamecocks? Clemson, a 2.5-point road underdog here. Total is 46.5. As mentioned, it's the Palmetto Bowl. Both of these teams just having really disappointing seasons. This was projected as like a top 15 to 20 matchup to start the year. And now South Carolina is like going to miss a bowl game. And Clemson is, they're bowl eligible, but like it hasn't been pretty to say the least. I like Clemson here. I don't know why they're underdogs.
I'm going to take Clemson too. I'm less confident in it though. I think this is a throw your hands up situation and we'll see. There's too much variance week to week with what they put out on the field, especially offensively, not just Clemson, but South Carolina too.
That's true.
They could play up to opponents. They could play down to opponents. I do legitimately think that Texas A&M game like probably broke South Carolina. I mean, I think they'd like to win this game, but that was brutal how that entire thing went down. You know, Shane's pumping up the crowd, walking off the field at halftime, then they get smoked in the second half. It's just like, my God, man.
Yeah.
Real tough scene there. The one thing I'm more confident in, I'm going to go under 46.5. We're going to lock that up.
Ooh. You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
Good athletes defensively on both sides, really inconsistent offenses.
Yeah.
And I can see that like the defenses have been a bit inconsistent on both sides too, but I'm under. That seems like a lot of points.
We agree.
Yes.
There you go.
46.5.
Double barrel.
Oh yeah.
I'll go with the under as well. I'm not going to lock it up. I'm not going to make you use the triple barrel sound, Scott. But
well, whenever you're ready, you know I have it available.
I'm aware, well aware.
I'm also now aware.
I can absolutely see this being a bit of a rock fight situation. That's a low total, and I could easily see it going under. So I am to your point, Mike, about the inconsistencies of both of these teams on a week-to-week basis. I will avoid really trusting either of them to do anything in this game, but Clemson in the under, I think we agree on, is the preferred outcome that we foresee here.
Yeah. Can't go 6-6, Dabo. Come on, man.
That's right. All right. Anything else?
Preseason top five team, 6-6.
Mm-hmm. Clemson for the both of us, under for all three of us. Mike has that locked up, as is producer's pick of the week. Number, what are we at, four? Yeah, four.
Doesn't matter.
Of course it matters.
Numbers don't matter. We're just picking them all.
There you go. Fair enough. All right. Let's go to everyone's favorite TV window, 3 o'clock on the CW, the Cheeks W.
I heard that.
Heard what?
Oh, I do like the addition of the fart noise.
For this game in particular, I mean.
Overlaid with the 7th Heaven drop, which is still funny. Like, it caught me so off guard last week. It's still just really funny to me.
I wouldn't be opposed to adding the fart noise in as part of that normal drop because it is the cheeks W.
That can be done. No problem.
No problem.
That can be done.
There are some things that Scott has had to figure out for us as producer of the show, and that would not be among the most difficult things.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
That could be figured out. 3 o'clock on the CW, the Boston College Eagles on the road in the Carrier Dome, taking on the Syracuse Orange. Boston College, a 3.5-point road favorite here, totals 52.5. I don't think either of these teams has won a game since September. Is that right?
I believe Boston College hasn't won a game since August.
Since the opener.
Oh my gosh, you're right. August for Boston College. Say the last game that either of these teams won was against Clemson. You'll be surprised to find out.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, nobody deserves to be favored here. And that's, you know, kind of upsetting seeing a road favorite. But second of all, Syracuse is just not doing it right now. They are out on this season. It seems like Boston College has been bad, but still trying and coming off a bye week here. Syracuse just got shown a new dimension last week.
They were relegated to the shadow realm.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm landing with Boston College here, Mike.
Oh, good. My camera froze again just in time. Perfect.
Always the perfect face that you're making.
What do I look like there?
You're still in queef mode, brother.
Oh man. I am going with Boston
College.
Someone's going
to be driving in the car with their family on the way to Thanksgiving, listening to this and get that. There you go. Well done. Well done.
Well, right. I'm taking Boston College here, but more importantly, Scott, can I get some music?
Oh boy.
I don't care. I'm a sickness. I don't want to totally ruin our sicko segment, but we've been calling this a sickos game for a couple weeks, and I have a lock in this game. Syracuse team total under 24.5.
Oh geez.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
We can decide how we want to count this, guys, from a doc perspective if we want to put this in this. I mean, this is one of my sickos picks, so we can either put it there or we can put it in my locks. I don't really care, but under 24.5 team total. I understand that Boston College's defense has not been very good. I get it. But, and I understand that Syracuse just played a really, really good Notre Dame defense last week. But for the love of God, that is like 3.5 scores with a quarterback who is much better at lacrosse. And if he doesn't work out, you're turning to a true freshman because you're just decided that Ricky Collins is going to play for another program next year. I don't see it. That is a ton of points. And I guess I am much more confident in it, as far as like my Boston College -3.5 pick. I am much more confident in Boston College being able to score than I am Syracuse. Mm-hmm. Like flat out. I don't see it with the Cuse offense here, which is why that total feels high to me. I think I'm going to lean under on the game total just because I don't see Syracuse scoring a ton here.
Yeah.
I think Boston College can score a little bit. I guess how close Syracuse gets to the 24.5 team total is going to dictate whether this goes over or not. Yeah. So I'm less confident in the game total, but I'm more confident in Syracuse not getting to 25 points here. So give me Syracuse team total under 24.5.
Do you know the last time that Syracuse scored more than 24 points in a game?
Was it against Clemson?
It was against Clemson. They have not yet gotten to 24 points with anyone other than Steve Angeli as their quarterback. So, yeah, if Boston College gives up 34 here, that is a ridiculously embarrassing afternoon for the Eagles.
Yeah.
I have another type of bet on this game. It's the under, but I think if you alt line this under to like 45, you could get some good juice on that number.
Nice little payout.
One score. Plus the hook, I guess, but
yeah. The 45.5.
I like it.
Actually, let me look right now while Mike unfreezes himself.
I'll be back.
Yeah, right now at under 45.5 on the alt game total, you can get it at almost 2-1.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's probably a worthwhile shot to take here. Yeah. This is also the kind of game I could easily see this. You can get some Boston College alt line. Like, what's Boston College minus 9.5 here?
Hold, please. I'll figure that out for you.
Yeah.
Minus 9.5 is, just shy of 2-1.
Yeah, there you go. I wouldn't hate that either as a potential investment opportunity if you're doing this. So this is how Syracuse ends up winning 60-59 or something like that. But,
Yep. Yep.
Boston College minus 3.5 for me and under. I'll take the under as well. If I were going to lock anything up here, it would be Boston College. But I will leave it alone, I think, for now.
Refrain.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Anything else before we move on, Scott? So you've got producer pick of the week is under 52.5.
Yes, correct.
That works. All right. Boston College and the under for both myself and Mike. Producer pick of the week, under 52.5. And I'm going to move Syracuse team total under 24.5 down to the Sickos picks.
That works.
Yeah, we'll do that. We will keep moving here. Also, this is at 3:30 now on the ACC Network. The Wake Forest Steamin' Deacs on the road in Durham, taking on the Duke Blue Devils. Duke, a 1.5-point home favorite here, totals 54.5. Wake with the opportunity to get to 9 wins here, which is kind of wild, given kind of what the expectations were, obviously, coming into the year. Duke is bowl eligible at 6-5, and so just trying to get to 7-5 here. Scott, the way that these teams have been playing, I kind of like Wake in this spot. I don't feel all that confident about either of these teams and kind of what they're going to be, but I kind of like Wake, even on a short road trip and such. Like, I think Wake's just playing better than Duke is right now.
Yeah, I like Wake as well. Do you think the 1.5 line is just like the home field thing for Duke?
Yeah, home field, that basically, considering what Wallace Wade Stadium is and how it's usually filled and how loud it usually is or is not, 1.5 for home field is probably about reasonable. So this could be very much one of those Vegas throw their hands up in the air, you guys figure it out situations.
Yep.
Wake's better coached.
Hey, Mike.
I'm back.
Wake is better coached.
Wake's better coached. This year's version, Manny Diaz isn't a bad coach, obviously. This year's version is... of Wake Forest is better coach than Duke. Mm-hmm. Duke's been two up and down. Wake Forest has been consistent. Like, they've been playing hard. They've been playing well. I'm going to take the consistency every single time on a short spread. Give me Wake. I think Wake gets a 9-3. National Coach of the Year recognition would be justifiable. This is insane.
Yep.
There's no way. I mean, Dave Clawson's a great coach, and what Dickert's done this year to kind of fix this relative to what it was a year ago is insane.
It's impressive. Really impressive. I think it was it Banana Slug or Chris Grondin that tweeted us that it's Jake Dickert and Tony Elliott, who both were predicted like 14th and 16th Banana in the Slug. ACC.
Yep.
Yeah. Both of those should be getting National Coach of the Year consideration, I think, for sure.
Yep.
I'm going to go over 54.5. I realize Wake is going to try to play a lower scoring game typically, but Duke having unders in Duke games is just not fun. It didn't go well for me last week. And again, they will throw the ball around the yard a little bit. They will give up some big plays on defense. So I think I see this turning into a little bit more of a shootout-y type of game. So give me the over 54.5.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm with you too. That's my pick.
Beauty.
Over 54.5. We're doing a lot of agreeing on this show.
That always ends well.
That means we're going to be completely wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
We still have pie.
Possibly go wrong. There you go. Anything else on this game?
Nope.
Wake and the over for myself and Mike. Producer pick of the week, number 7 or something, is the over 54.5.
We're just loading them up, baby. We're loading them up.
Fire away. Fire away. To the night slate, let's go to, hang on, let me fix this real quick. It's not 4:30, is it? It's 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock on ESPN, the Florida State Seminoles on the road in Gainesville taking on the Florida Gators. Totals 51.5. Florida State, a small 1.5-point road underdog here going into Gainesville. Florida has already fired their coach, obviously, several weeks ago. Billy Napier was fired. I don't know. Is DJ Lagway hurt? Like, is he playing? What's his status?
It hasn't even been him being hurt. It's they can't decide whether they want to play him or not, which is unbelievable how that's fallen.
Yeah. This is the Sunshine Showdown, by the way. I say that 10 times fast. Florida State. Mike, do you remember the last time that Florida State won a game away from Doak Campbell Stadium?
That would be 2023.
That'd be 2 years ago. Yep. Give me Florida. Let's lock up Florida minus -1.5.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
I get that Florida's not doing all that well and all this, but like it just feels like Florida State outside of their own stadium just doesn't really have it right now. And going into this rivalry environment, I get that like maybe they're up for this game, but I just can't imagine like this feels like a season where Florida State's going to miss a bowl game again, doesn't it?
It does. Double barrel.
Hey,
you better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
I don't really have anything to add. Yeah, I really don't. You've kind of laid out my argument for picking this game, so I really don't have much else to add. The way Florida State lost that game against NC State the other night, it's really hard for me to think that they're going to all of a sudden go into the swamp with SEC athletes and play. I know Florida hasn't been good, but this is don't see it. Do not see it. Give me Florida.
Did we talk on the recap about the announcement that Mike Norvell's coming back next year?
We mentioned it.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I mean,
which is odd because I thought we were going to assess that after the season was over.
Oh, they assessed it. They assessed that they couldn't get the money to fire him.
They're, yeah, correct.
They assessed.
Correct. Yeah. They're not going to get the money together in time.
Yeah. Clearly.
And then subsequently hire who they want to hire because that's like a big part of this too. They need that buyout to go down because the type of coach that Florida State wants to hire, they're not going to be able to do if they pay Norvell $77 million to go away.
Right.
Yeah.
Couldn't happen to a more likable ACC program.
He gets to open the season, or at least maybe is he game two next year against Alabama in Bryant-Denny Stadium. So we'll see.
Yeah. T's and P's. Can we lock up a game almost a year in advance?
I think if there's a book out there that will get you a, 9 month
look ahead line?
10 month head start on the look ahead line.
Man, that's going to be an experience. Give me under 51.5 here, by the way. I think this is probably some sort of an ugly, sloppy football game.
Yep, Florida State will be getting given the TV money. Oh, good. Good. I'll go under two. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a whole lot of agreeing on this show. What could possibly go wrong?
I've realized that of all these picks I've been making, I've only been really doing the total.
Yeah.
I picked, except for Kentucky. We'll change that up coming up next.
Wait, hold on. This game is, why did I have this at 7:00? This is a 3:30 game. Damn it. Sorry.
Somebody was right.
Yeah, somebody was right. Producer Scott was right. I was not. Making sure I got this. Yeah. Okay. Wait, no, it's 4:30. I'm looking in Central Time. Goodness.
Yeah, it's a weird time. It's 4:30. Yeah.
What is happening? 4:30 on ESPN. Oh, this is where we start getting a weird basketball season.
It's on ESPN too.
Impacting game time. ESPN.
Oh, yeah. There's some big time. There are some big time basketball games this weekend, tournament wise. Like
there you go,
we did it right to finish the segment.
But we got it. We got there. Goodness. All right, Florida locked up for both myself and Mike minus -1.5, under 51.5 for all of us, including producer's pick of the week number 110, I think at this point. So we will move on. Now we go to the night slate. At 7:00 on ESPN, as Mike and Scott, your Virginia Tech Hokies on the road in Charlottesville, taking on the number 17 Virginia Cavaliers. The Cavs, a 9.5-point home favorite here, totals 53.5. This is the Commonwealth Clash, played for the Commonwealth Cup. How are we feeling about the Hokies in this matchup?
Virginia Tech plus 9.5. Lock it up. You got to. Virginia has won two of these games in 25 years, no matter the status of their team. You got to.
It's a principal bet. Give me Virginia Tech plus a 9.5. I do not think the Hokies win this game, actually. I think Virginia wins. But I do think Virginia Tech covers a 9.5. It's a lot of points. Exactly. Tech's got a lot of stuff wrong with it. Like, defense has been kind of a mess. They can't throw the ball. There's a lot of things to hate about the way things have gone this season for Virginia Tech. The one thing that we can't hate on, obviously, is that this is all going to change very, very soon. But this is a better Virginia team. They are at home. They should win this game. But my God, if you don't, this is to levels of Bryce Perkins, like in, what was that, 2019?
That was the last time they won.
Which is like, if you don't win now, when are you going to? And they had to like really eke that out. So this game's going to be close. A 9.5 is a ton. It was up to 11.5 at one point, which if you got that number, more power to you. That's even better. But I figured this was probably going to come down under 10.
Yeah.
That's a really good example from 2019, Mike. That was a better Virginia Tech team and a better Virginia team. And still UVA only won by, guess what? 9 points.
Yeah. And it took a late interception. You'll remember. There was a late score in that game too.
Was it like a pick six? Like it was like 32-30 and Virginia Tech was driving and then there was a pick six that put it away.
That game was tight throughout. Yep.
We're just pulling things from the memory hole there.
Yeah.
Good memory, everybody.
There you go.
Hendon Hooker, baby. Miss him.
I don't have a whole lot to add here. I agree. Hokies plus the 9.5. And this is not for objective football reasons. Like, Virginia is a better team right now than Virginia Tech is, and it's not particularly close, I don't think. But I have watched this sport and this conference long enough to know a boogeyman situation when I see one. Yep. And it doesn't really matter that Virginia is a lot better than Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's coming in with that VT logo on their helmets, and that's basically all that counts here for, you know, can Virginia find a way to win this game? And it's that simple, and it's not derogatory towards anybody. It's more just look at the series history, and it is what it is for a reason. So give me the Hokies to at least keep this one close. I do think Virginia wins maybe by 3 here at home. Hokies continuing to play hard, continuing to fight.
Yeah, like, they haven't given up.
They're not quitting.
This is their Super Bowl. They're not going bowling. Like, 9.5 is, I think, definitely doable for the Hokies.
This is them trying to send off Bill Montgomery, you know. For what it's worth, Virginia coming off a bye week, you know, they've had extra time to prepare and they're extra healthy. But again, I just don't know that any of it matters. Like, so
Virginia beats into their program all year long that they want to, quote unquote, beat Tech. They haven't done so very well in the past, whatever. Tony Elliott hasn't beat Virginia Tech as Virginia's head coach. If this game is close late, there's going to be some really tight buttholes in Charlottesville.
Lemon booty.
Squeeze them.
Lemon booty. Virginia 27-21 wins this game.
Sounds good to me.
Fair enough.
That's another game, by the way.
It is. I'm gonna lean under here. I don't think the Hokies are trying to play a shootout situation. So
they can't.
Give me under.
they're incapable.
Yeah. So all right. Hokies and the under for all of us, producers pick of the week. Virginia Tech plus the 9.5. We got 3 more here, boys. 7:30 on the ACC Network, the North Carolina Tar Heels on the road in Raleigh, taking on the NC State Wolfpack. Wolfpack, a 7.5-point home favorite here, totals 48.5. I realize it's a home spot for NC State. Kind of a lot of points, it feels like.
I agree. It does feel like a lot of points. I'm with you. Give me Carolina plus 7.5. These are two teams that are simply not very good. That's what it boils down to. And one is laying more than a touchdown at home for some reason. I don't get it. NC State is better, but not by 7.5. That's nuts to me. More importantly, we're just going to keep locking stuff up. Give me the under 48.5. We'll lock it up.
Yeah.
You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
I just, NC State's offense, I think, played well last week, and it was a struggle to get to 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, this is going to sound crazy considering the athlete discrepancy, but I don't think North Carolina's defense has been playing much worse than Florida State's has, especially the last like 5 or 6 weeks. So, give me the under here.
I'm also in Carolina plus 7.5. I guess the under, I don't feel all that strongly about. I could see almost any number of things happening in this game, short of UNC winning in a blowout. Like, that's the one thing I don't see happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, this should be another, this is always a bit of a weird game. Like, something wacky happens. It turns into a shootout. It's going to go to overtime. It's going to be something really kind of uncomfortable. Give me Carolina to keep it close. Give me the under. But should be a fun watch at the very least, I would tell you.
Carolina, agreed. I'm with you guys.
North Carolina plus the 7.5.
And we've been agreeing way too much.
I know. I was really disappointed researching this game and seeing that this is the two major schools in the state.
You guys haven't disagreed on any game yet.
I know. This is about as bad as it's been in a long time, I think. Yeah. for an in-state rivalry with like the two biggest schools in the state, how do we not have a nickname for this game? How do we not have a trophy for this game? We've got nothing. We're just playing for keeps, I guess.
Playing for keeps. Yep.
I guess. Somebody's going to correct me on that. Please do. But Wikipedia told me no name, no trophy. Really lame.
They really don't play for something? I'll look it up next year.
Apparently not. That's fine. UNC plus the 7.5 for all of us, under 48.5. For myself, and Mike has it locked up. Producer's pick of the week, by the way, UNC plus 7.5. Yeah, good there. Last one in the normal evening slate, 8:00 on ESPN, the number 25 SMU Mustangs on the road in Berkeley, taking on the Cal Golden Bears. SMU, a 13.5 point favorite here, totals 52.5. I really don't want to lay almost two touchdowns with a team having to travel to the West Coast, but Cal just fired their coach and might be like done with this year. I don't know what to do with this year. Maybe just lay them with SMU. SMU's been playing better, and Kevin Jennings looking better too. They are rounding into form right around the time they might be going to the ACC championship here in a week or so.
Yeah, I'm with you. Cal interim coach, I don't see it here, especially with how SMU's been playing. I think they win this game. I think they cover. And yeah, I think they're going to Charlotte somehow, some way.
Literally somehow. We're not totally sure how. I guess is it Virginia and SMU win and you're in? Is that where we're at? Yeah,
it's actually the most straightforward it's been few weeks. They're winning in, which is the first time the ACC has had more than one team control its own destiny that hasn't been Georgia Tech in like a month. So
yeah.
That's yeah, fair. So I can summarize those scenarios, sort of, except for the Miami one. They've got a bunch. But yeah, like you said, Virginia and SMU both winning in. Pittsburgh has to win and gets a loss from one of those teams. So if one of those teams loses, Pitt's in, and if they win. Miami, a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff for Miami.
Duke needs to lose, right?
Duke still has a chance. Do you want to hear Duke's chances?
What on earth?
If Duke wins, obviously they have to win. And Pitt and SMU lose, they're in. And there's like three other scenarios. The longest list of scenarios is actually Miami.
Duke's got an easier path than Miami does.
Yeah, they need Pitt loss, which Miami's going to be playing hard. Cal winning is hard to beat SMU, but yeah.
What a conference. Very elite. Very competitive.
A lot of these scenarios get cleaned up, obviously, if SMU beats Cal. Like, this is very relevant to this game. Mm-hmm. But if Cal pulls this upset, it gets wonky.
next time somebody complains about the ACC and how down they are, just remember, everybody complains, right? Everybody wants to be playing meaningful football in November. You can't say that that's not happening here, right?
That's right.
It's happening. It's big weekend. Not great quality week to week, but you know.
So if SMU wins their game, then this is so confusing. I was gonna say if SMU wins their game, it eliminates Duke and Georgia Tech. That's not necessarily true. Never mind. Move on.
A mess. What a conference. What a conference. SMU and the over for me, by the way. SMU is gonna score a bunch here, and who knows? Maybe Cal has a spirited effort and scores some points, but I don't feel all that strongly either way.
I will go under. Is the total 47.5 or 52.5?
I'm seeing 52 and a half on ESPN bet.
Yeah, 52 and a half.
Okay.
Sorry, that's my bad.
That's all right.
Scott, what are you on here?
For the sake of being different, I'll take Cal with the points.
Oh, wow. Look at you. And here I was thinking you were going to have to use another sound effect. I'm going to, you know what, while we're here, I'm going to lock up SMU minus 13 and a half. Is it playing? Nope. No, yeah, no. You're muted, and yeah, no.
You better lock it up.
There we go.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Sorry, I hit a button before I hit the lock button, and it muted everything. My apologies.
Well, you know, it happens to the best of us. All right. SMU minus the 13 and a half locked up for me, and Mike has that as well, not locked up. Over for me, under for Mike, and Cal plus the 13 and a half for producer's pick of the week. Last one, guys, 10:30 on ESPN, the number 9 Notre Dame Fighting Irish on the road in Palo Alto, taking on the Stanford Cardinal. Notre Dame, a 32.5 point favorite, totals 51.5. This is a rivalry game. It is played for the Legends Trophy. Kind of hilarious that we're making, you know, we're drawing out the ACC's regular season until, you know, a 10:30 East Coast start on week 14. But, you know, here we are.
If it's anything like last week, the game will be over by 10:42.
Good point. Good point. This is a lot of points. Last game for Frank Reich. I don't know how badly Notre Dame like needs style points here. This is so many points. Give me Stanford to, you know, keep this within 24 or something. Like, can you make this 38 to 14, please, Stanford?
40-7 gets home for the Irish.
It does. It does.
I'm laying them.
Lay them.
I'm laying them. I can see what you're saying with Stanford, and it's not a lot of confidence on this, by the way, with a spread like this. A lot less confident than I was last week.
Because I agree with that.
Just how that went. But yeah, give me Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I could see like 40-7, 41-7. Something like, I don't think Stanford's scoring a bunch here.
Implied final score. What would it be like? 40? Yeah, 42-11 or 41-10, I guess or something like that. Yeah, big blowout is what they're predicting. What can I get the Stanford team total at? 9.5?
As a matter of fact, that would be 8.5. I have that written down for something different.
I go over.
Hey, Scott, that. Scott, can we get some music, Scott?
Just moving on?
Let's just do it now. I don't care. I'm a sicko.
Sicko's picks of the week, week 14. I guess we'll just dive right in. We don't have to.
It was on my card. It was on my card. So, I mean, why not just dive right into it?
There you go. Hit it. You already got Syracuse team total under 24.5, by the way.
Yeah. We're on Stanford team total under 8.5 against Notre Dame. That's full game total. Just to kind of finish out our preview of that game while we dive into Sicko's, we're kind of merging, blurring lines a little bit between two segments, I know.
Hey, before we fully move on, I was on the over in that game.
I think it's going to have to be the over for me, too, if I think Andy's covering.
There you go. I will take Stanford in the under.
Yeah.
But I'm ready for Sickos. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Keep going, Mike.
So I'll just keep going. So I have Q's team total under 24.5, Stanford team total under 8.5, full game. Let's go to the Pac-12/2/ whatever we're calling them. Oregon State and Washington State are meeting for the second time this year.
Yeah, it's weird.
And the final score of their first meeting was 10-7.
Mm-hmm.
That's 17 points for those keeping score at home. For some reason, the game total the second time around is 42.5. Give me Oregon State, Washington State under 42.5. I mean, I don't think Oregon State's scoring a ton. I think Washington State wins that game, but I just don't see Oregon State scoring that much. And then in a body blow game, let's go over to the American. Charlotte went between the hedges.
Oh, last week. Mike, I almost did it, but I wasn't confident we could go back to the Charlotte well without feeling a little scummy about it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Charlotte fans are not going to be too happy with me after this one. Charlotte had a body blow game against Georgia last week, and now they got to play a very good Tulane team. I don't care what John Summerall says about the team being average. They're very good. Tulane is laying 29.5 at home against Charlotte. Give me all those points. Green wave cover. Tulane minus 29.5.
Okay.
That's it for me.
Okay.
Scott?
Alrighty, boys. I'm gonna head on down to the Big 12. Also, a disclaimer for those who've been listening: all the rankings we were saying today in our show are AP poll rankings. So we haven't gotten the release of the CFP based on the time of recording. So just FYI, if you're mad about that because you're gonna listen to this on Wednesday morning and you're like the rankings don't match, that's why. Anywho. We're going to go on down to the Big 12. I've got Kansas. Give me Rock Chalk Jayhawk, baby. We're getting into basketball season. They are 12.5 point home dogs to Utah. I don't like Utah that much. Give me the Jayhawks to cover 12.5.
Let's go.
Okay.
Rock Chalk.
Rock Chalk, baby. Last week, I traveled on over to the SEC, which was weird. SEC, new SEC, as in I was in the Oklahoma, Missouri game. I think y'all remember I was getting plus money on Oklahoma and Missouri at the team total for Oklahoma. That did not come through, which we didn't get to do our recaps of the sickos because Mike said we're just doing this now. So we're doing it now. That did not come through. But what I am going to go back to is Oklahoma. They are playing LSU. I like the gross total of the under 36.5. I have no confidence in LSU. LSU has just been run by oil salesmen, the governor, and maybe some meth cooks down there in Louisiana. I don't know. Walter White might have showed up to Baton Rouge to help him cook. Give me LSU, Oklahoma, under 36.5. And then I've got a little spot over there in the Sun Belt. Yeah, over in the Sun Belt. So ODU, Old Dominion, you guys remember them. They're having a good season. They're playing host to Georgia State this weekend. Now, I don't know if you've seen the news, but just across the state of Virginia, Ricky Ronnie's good friend, James Franklin, now has a head coaching job at Virginia Tech. I think you might have heard that on the show once or twice. Ricky Ronnie's been getting asked questions if he has any interest in the Virginia Tech offensive coordinator position all week. He's been politely declining to answer those questions, doing a lot of coach speak. Georgia State's catching 26.5 down there in Newport News. Give me Georgia State and the Panthers. I think they're the Panthers plus 26.5 to cover against Old Dominion.
Good pick.
I like
it. That's it.
Special surprise here. We did get Sicko's picks from Cam.
Way to go, Cam.
Before we went live here. Our guy, yeah, we remembered to tweet him, you know, about an hour before the recording started. So he was able to get us his picks this week. First off, he has Bowling Green, the Falcons, minus 14.5 against what he termed UMass, which, you know.
Trying to avoid an 0-12 season, the Minutemen.
Yeah, that's – and they're down – they're catching two touchdowns against Pudge and the Bowling Green Falcons.
So I, too, we'll am also 0-12, trying to last more than a minute.
Well done.
Thank you.
He has under 46.5 in the Directional Michigan Challenge. That is Eastern Michigan against Western Michigan.
Like that one.
He has
to catch up on that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. James Madison, Coastal Carolina, first half over 27.5.
Hell yeah.
I like that.
Sun Belt games. Hell yeah.
He has the principal play of Iowa, Nebraska under 39.5. Going unders in the 30s here. Here we go.
I got to look at the Nebraska team total.
And finally, North Texas first half team total over 25.5. I was looking at them. They're playing Temple at home, laying 20.5 in that game. And I'm going to leave that alone. So there you go from Cam. And then finally, I'll give you mine. I'm going to join Mike on Syracuse team total under 24.5.
Double barrel sickos.
Double barrel.
Go.
And play the music. No, I'm just kidding. double barrel sickos locked. Syracuse team total under 24.5. I'm going to jump on that with you. Then let's go to, oh goodness, this is the name of the town is escaping me. Coastal Carolina.
Conway.
We're going to Conway, South Carolina, where Coastal Carolina, the Chickens, are hosting James Madison.
Chanticleers.
The Chants hosting James Madison. James Madison laying 21.5. Trying to make an impression on the committee. They've got a conference championship game next weekend, but Coastal Carolina just got obliterated by South Carolina last week, and now they're going to catch a freight train that is James Madison right now. Give me the Dukes to absolutely just destroy Coastal Carolina here, laying 21.5. Shants are already bowl eligible, by the way, so they don't really need this for anything. Lay them with the Dukes. And then finally, we have history that can be made sooner than later. We're going to, is it Lynchburg, Virginia, Mike?
It is Lynchburg.
Where the Liberty Flames are hosting the soon-to-be Kennesaw State Owls. Hootie-hoo. Go get your merch at section103.com and use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order.
They're changing their name of their school?
They will when they become a 10-win program here later this year.
That went right over my head. Woof.
Kennesaw State is 8-3, laying 2.5 on the road at Liberty. Liberty has not been all that good this year. Give me the Owls, laying 2.5. They will get to 9-3 in the regular season and have a chance at a 10-win season in bowl season. So
I like that one, Joey. I like that one.
Shout out to the Owls there. That's what I got.
All right.
There it is. Week 14. You've got a lot. We didn't even recap our locks. We got to do that real quick. Let's do that.
We're going to do that now.
Yeah, let's do that now. Producer's pick of the week, over 59.5 in clean old-fashioned hate, over 50.5 in Miami and Pittsburgh, Kentucky +2.5, under 46.5 in Clemson, South Carolina, under 52.5 in Boston College and Syracuse, over
54.5
in Wake and Duke, under 51.5 Florida State and Florida, Virginia Tech +9.5 at Virginia, Carolina +7.5 at NC State, and Cal +13.5 at home against SMU. Otherwise, Mike and I both on Kentucky +2.5 at Louisville. Mike is on under 46.5 in Clemson, South Carolina. We are both on Florida -1.5 against Florida State. And Mike is on under 48.5 in North Carolina, NC State. And then finally, I am on SMU -13.5 at Cal. Whew. Busy week 14. Lots of games, but that was fun. It's been a fun season, guys.
We went out. All right,
boys. I gotta go 9-2. 9-2 gets me to 14-14 on the season.
You're gonna get there for sure. For sure.
It's been rough.
I will say, if I do get there, that was a Hail Mary that put laid off.
Well, you miss 100% of the Hail Marys you don't throw here, Scott. So
thanks, Michael Scott, Wayne Gretzky.
By the way, I don't think I mentioned, you also said over 51.5 in Notre Dame and Stanford. So
yes.
There it is. All right, fellas, anything else before we get out here and go watch some games?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. We used to have a sound for this, but Lord knows whether we'll get DMCA'd for that or not. So real ones know.
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, that's right.
I have it somewhere.
It's somewhere. We'll see if it gets added in post-production or not. We'll find out. All right. Let's get out of here.
Scott's like, do I want to go down the road of having to realign RSS feeds again?
Yeah, right.
That's exactly what went through my head. I was like, no, I want to add it in there.
Yeah. Is it worth it or not? Who's to say? All right. YouTube.com/@theACCFootballPodcast. Come find us there. Hit the subscribe button. We'd appreciate that. We'll be back to recap these games. Probably what, Sunday night, Mike?
Yeah, Sunday night will be fine. Cool. Sunday's good. Yeah, let's just do that.
Yeah, I will be absent, but you guys have fun.
We will be we'll do that, but we'll think of you, Scott. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yep.
We will be on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, all the places you go find your audio podcasts. Go find us there. Twitter @FGRSJoey, @MikeMcDanielSI, together @PCPodcastACC. Send us an email, basketballconferencepodcast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Thank you. And otherwise, hope everyone has a safe and fun holiday weekend. Happy Thanksgiving to the people. If you're traveling again, hope you're being safe and having a great time with your family or friends or, you know, whatever else you're doing. So shout out to the people. Hope you have a great holiday. We'll talk to you after the week is over.
Drink responsibly.
Or don't.
Or yeah, I mean,
they said it, not me. I'm just the producer.
I mean, if this is the thing that gets our sponsors pissed off, I just throw my hands up with all the other stuff I've said.
I was gonna say, yeah, we've done way worse than that. That's
we fair. Have. Yeah.
All right, Mike, Scott, y'all have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk afterwards. How's that sound?
Sounds like a plan.
Good. All right. Until next time, for Mr. Mike McDaniel, for Mr. Producer Scott, I am Joey Weber. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll talk to you again very, very soon. Happy Thanksgiving. To hell with Georgia, and go ACC.